إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، أما بعد. We give thanks to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions altogether. Inshallah, today's alqa is going to be a reminder of the 12th month of the Hijri calendar, which is the month of Dhul-Hijjah, particularly concerning the first 10 days. Today is the 26th of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, according to the calculation of the Moon Sighting Committee. So meaning, in 3 to 4 days, the month of Dhul-Qa'dah of the year 1443 will be coming to an end, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us witness the end. And may subhanahu wa ta'ala give us long life with good health. And may subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to do righteous deeds, and may accept them from us as act of ibadah. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as reported by Abu Dawood in the Sunan, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, and this is also supported by a similar wording from الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى. الإمام أبو داود رحمه الله تعالى reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام، يعني أيام الأشر. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there are no days that good deeds in them are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these days. That is the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. It was said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Even not jihad in the cause of Allah. The jihad being referred to here is the legalized and the legitimate jihad, which is fought in line with the provision of the Sunnah, in line with the recommendation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the destruction of property that is uncalled for, the destruction of lives that is uncalled for, that some people are embarking on today in the name of jihad fi sabilillah. So the jihad that is legitimate, that is in line with the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not as beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as having good deeds done in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. It's not as beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as having good deeds done in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ وَلَمْ يَرْجُي مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ. The jihad that can be likened to it, or that can be said to be more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than other deeds, other good deeds done in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, is the jihad that the one who does it is matayaj in it. The one who does it is matayaj in it. That is, it does not return home. Such a jihad is the jihad that we say it is as beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than other good deeds in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So going by this hadith, we can see that this 12th month of the Hijri calendar, which is the month of Dhul Hijjah, is a month that we all need to strive, particularly in the first 10 days. And this is general for those who are going for Hajj and those who are not going for Hajj. That is one area. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said by one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as contained the hadith of the wife of Hunayda bin Khalid, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yasumu tis'a dhil hijjah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will fast in the first 9 days of the hijjah, including the day of Arafah, including the day of Arafah. And we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in that hadith quoted earlier, that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ يعني أيام العشر. There are no days, the good days are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the first 10 days of the Hijjah. So if the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have the first 9 days of the Hijjah, this shows fasting is one of the things that you can do, one of the good deeds that you can do in the first 10 days of ذو الحجة. The 10th day is plenty from fasting, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frowned at fasting on the day of Eid, be it Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Fitr. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frowned at that. So one cannot fast and should not fast in the fourth, one cannot fast on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, because it is the day of Hajj. Even it is not advisable that one fast on the 11th and 12th and 13th of Dhul Hijjah. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, أيام التشريك لم يرخص أن يصمنا إلا لمن لم يجد الهدي. The أيام التشريك, that is the days after يوم النحر, the day of slaughtering, which is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, 11th and the 12th and the 13th. To the Hujjaj, they will refer to the 11th day of Dhul Hijjah as Yawm al-Qarr. That is the day people will remain in Mina. Then they refer to the 12th day of Dhul Hijjah as Yawm al-Nafr al-Awwal. That is the day that people can leave Mina having concluded their Hajj rites. Then the 13th to the Yawm al-Nafr al-Thani, the 13th to the Yawm al-Nafr al-Thani, that is the day of the parting from Mina, the second day of the parting from Mina. So the fourth day of the parting from Mina is the 12th. So no pilgrim can leave Mina before the 12th of Dhul Hijjah. A pilgrim that decides to remain till 13th of Dhul Hijjah, this is also rewardable, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. So Yawm al-Nahri is the 10th day. Yawm al-Qarr is the 11th day. Yawm al-Nafr al-Awwal is the 12th day. Yawm al-Nafr al-Thani is the 13th day. These days are called Ayyam al-Tashriq. That is the 11th, 12th and 13th. They are called Ayyam al-Tashriq. The reason they are called Ayyam al-Tashriq is because, as some scholars have said, these are days that people will be putting their meat in the sun, the meat that is slaughtered on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, Yawm al-Nahri. So they will be putting them in the sun, or putting it in the sun, so these days are referred to as Yawm al-Tashriq, Yawm al-Tashriq. The point here is that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ayyam al-Tashriq, the day of Tashriq, the days of Tashriq, لن يرخص أن يصنى. It is not permitted to fast them. إِلَّا لِمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدِ الْأَدْيَى, except for the one who cannot find al-hadyu, that is a pilgrim who does the matter, and that pilgrim is unable to slaughter the sacrificial animal. Because the one who performs Hajj tamattu, such a person has to slaughter a sacrificial animal, as damu shukran, as the blood of thanksgiving, showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the one who performs Hajj tamattu has combined Umrah and Hajj in one journey. In a journey, he combines Umrah and Hajj. He will get reward of somebody who has performed Umrah, and he will get the reward of somebody who has performed Hajj. So he combines these in one journey. He's going to get the reward for that. Then for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have enabled him with this, he ought to slaughter a ram. فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ بِالْعُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجِّ فَمَسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever does tamattu by combining Umrah and Hajj, then فَمَسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي, he should slaughter what is able to slaughter of the sacrificial animals. So the one who cannot do this, he doesn't have the financial wealth to get the ram. Maybe what he has with him is what will be enough for his feeding only. Then in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he should fast 10 days. He will fast 3 days in Hajj, for Sabah, and 7 days إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ, when they go back to their destinations, to their places. تِلْكَ عَشْرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ, so making 10. So the point here is that it is not permissible for us to fast on the 11th, 12th and 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, just as it is not permissible for us to fast on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, because it is the day of Hajj. So Ayyam al-Tashriq, they are also part and parcel of the days of Hajj. And that is why it is reported in authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayyam al-Tashriq, Ayyam aklin wa shurbin wa dhikrillah. The days of Tashriq are days of eating, drinking, and remembrance of Allah. They are not days of fasting. But the one that is allowed to fast in those days of Tashriq, apart from Yawm al-Nahr, is the one who is unable to slaughter the sacrificial animal of gratitude, because he or she has done Hajj Tamattu. He has combined Umrah with Hajj in one journey. The point here is that fasting is encouraged in the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. In the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, fasting is encouraged. So in the hadith of the wife of Unayra, it is said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast Tis'a Dhul-Hijjah, the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And the most important of these days is the day of Arafah. Is the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah is encouraged to be fasted for those who do not perform Hajj. As for those who perform Hajj, it is not something that is encouraged the fast. Even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he performed Hajj, he did not fast on the day of Arafah when he performed Hajj. Despite the fact that he will fast the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. But the year he performed Hajj, he did not fast the day of Arafah. To the extent that meek was taken to him in a bowl, and he took it and he drank it. Which means it is not something that is recommended for those who are on the plain of Arafah to fast on the night of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the day of Arafah. But those who are at home it is recommended that he fast, to the extent that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked concerning the fasting of the year of Arafah, he said, يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ وَالْبَاقِيَةَ يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ وَالْبَاقِيَةَ. Fasting on the day of Arafah wipes off the sins of the previous year and the sins of the year to come, that is the following year. Now this sin are not the kaba'ir dhunub, they are not the major sins, they are the minor sins. Because the major sins are forgiven by going away from them. When you go away from the major sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you the minor sins. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم وندخلكم مدخلا كريما. When you go away from the great things that you have been forbidden, that you have been warned from, نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم, your سيئات will be forgiven, will be wiped off. سيئات here means minor sin, not major sin, not grave sins. Why do we interpret sayyat to be minor sins here? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. So the sayyat here will be minor sins. Though sayyat can be watched major sins and minor sins. So it is the context that will enable us to give it the proper interpretation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say in some verses, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say in some ahadith. So these things being referred to here is minor sins, not major sins. Similar thing is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning the five daily prayers. He said, As-salawatu al-khamsu wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'ah wa ramadanu ila ramadan mukaffiratun lima baynahunna إن اجتنبت الكبائر. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the observance of the five daily prayers, likewise the observance of the Jumu'ah prayer, the fasting of Ramadan, likewise ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن. So they wipe away the sins in between. In ishtinibat al-kabair, when the kabair are avoided, the grave sins. Likewise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man hajja walam yarfuth walam yafsuk raja'a min dhunubih kayawma waladat ummu. Whoever performs hajj and does not do any rafath here, any indecent act, he does not participate in any act of disobedience here, he will come back from the Hajj like a newborn baby, no sin. Now this hadith, some scholars like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala took it to me, is going to wipe away the major sins, all these things. Why some scholars said no, this should be understood in line with other ahadith, that it is the major minor sins that is being referred to here. But wallahu a'lam, Wallahu a'lam. What matters in this discussion is the hadith that the fasting of Arafah yukaffir as-sanat al-madiyah was-sanat al-baqiyah. Fasting on the day of Arafah wipes away the sin of the previous year and the following year. So we said here, it's referring to the minor sins. The point here is that it is good for us to do fasting in the first 9 days of the Dhul-Hijjah. If we can do that, at least the night of the Dhul-Hijjah should be done. Is encouraged, not compulsory, but it is encouraged. It's encouraged, not compulsory. Now we can also participate in some other things. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recitation of the Quran, doing sadaqah, and many other good deeds that you can do in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ عَلْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فيها أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام يعني أيام العشر. There are no days that good deeds in them are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the first 10 days of the Hijjah. So if we look at the people who are going to perform Hajj, so they will be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most likely some of them will perform the Umrah during this period. Then they will be on the plain of Arafah during this period. So a lot of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be going on. So that's why it is said that these days, these first 10 days of the Hijjah are the best days of the year. Why? The last 10 nights of Ramadan are the best nights of the year. And Laylatul Qadr is the best of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So the days, the first 10 days, so we have what, the day of Arafah, likewise we have the day of An-Nahr. So these days are very important days of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So it is encouraged that we do a lot of good deeds, sadaqah, fasting, nawafil, recitation of the Quran, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the fourth aspect that we want to talk about. It's just a reminder. It's a reminder. This is something that we all know, but just to remind one another. Another thing is for the one who intends to slaughter the sacrificial animal of Udhiyah. Ummu Salamah radiallahu anha said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَتِ الْعَشْرُ مِنْ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ فَمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُضَحِيَهِ فَلَا يَمَسَّهِ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَلَا مِنْ بَشَارِهِ شَيْئًا. When the first 10 days of Ramadan comes, of Dhul-Hijjah comes in, when the first 10 days of Ramadan comes in, so whoever intends to do slaughter sacrificial animal, should not take from his body, shay'an, should not take from his heir. This includes all the air that we are encouraged to take, or we are instructed to take. Take, for instance, the shaving of the armpit air or the pubic air. This is said to be recommended according to the interpretation of most scholars. In fact, some scholars are of the opinion that it is compulsory to shave the pubic hair and the armpit hair. And this, wallahu alam, is the wavier position. This is the wavier position. To shave the pubic hair and to shave the armpit hair. As for the mustache, it is a sunnah to also cut away from it. Some scholars are of the opinion that you can cut it to the extent that there won't be anything there. And some are of the opinion that no, there should be something. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala recorded in his Musnad the hadith of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a shaving stick and he placed it on the mustache of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Then he asked him to remove what is left, that is, what remains of the hair after the shaving stick, which shows it is sunnah, or it is not against sunnah, to leave the mustache. But based on some ahadith, like wa'afu shawarib, so some scholars, they say the ahfu there is to remove completely. Juzu, some scholars said is to remove completely. Now we look at the practical explanation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say it is not the best to remove everything. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala would consider removing everything as musla, as a kind of mutilation. Now the point here is that the pubic hair, the armpit hair, the mustache, these should not be touched during this period. When the first day of the Hijjah comes in, we shouldn't touch any of this. Despite the fact that you are encouraged or commanded to touch them, but we shouldn't touch them when this period comes in. This is with respect to the one that wants to slaughter. The one who does not want to slaughter, then there is no harm. But for the one who wants to slaughter, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he should not remove anything from that. Then he said, what basharihi is body. So this can explain that of the air as well. Then it can also involve the clipping of the fingernails and the toenails. And that is why in another report of the same hadith, it is said, فَلَا يَأْخُذَنَّ فَلَا يَأْخُذَنَّ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَقْلِمَنَّ ظِفْرًا. He should not cut his fingernails. He should not cut his toenails. So this, according to some scholars, it is haram to touch it. It is haram to touch it. Now for argument's sake, there are some scholars who say it is not haram, it is makruh karata tanzi, like Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. Like Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. And his argument is based on the statement of our Mawla Aisha radiallahu anha who said, Kuntu aftilu qala'ida hadi nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, I will be the one to tie the rope, so to say, of the hajj, the sacrificial animal of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you want to send to Makkah to be slaughtered. Because this is something that is permissible, it's recommended that somebody may just decide to send a hajj, that is a ram, to Makkah to be slaughtered during that period. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do this. He himself may not perform Umrah or Hajj, but he would send Hajj there to be slaughtered. So Aisha radiallahu anha said she would do that. Then وَكَانَ يَبْعَثُ بِهِ, he would send it. وَلَا يَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ مِنَّا يَحْرُمُ عَلَى الْمُحْرِمِ, and nothing that is haram on the muhrim will be haram on him. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala deduced from this that we know that al-muhrim, the one who is a muhrim, who is performing hajj or umrah, must not clip his fingernail, must not cut his hair until it is time for him, must not apply perfume and so on. So our mother Aisha radiallahu anha says nothing will be haram on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will send the hajj during this period. So from this, Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala concluded that فَلَا يَأْخُذَنَّ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَقْلِمَنَّ ذِفْرًا. The nahyu there is nahyu of tanzil. The nahyu of tanzil. Why? A lot of scholars are of the opinion that the nahyu there is nahyu of tahrim. As for that hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that does not mean that we teach them the same way. But Allahu A'lam, it is better we take it to the nahyu of tahrim. Though those who say it is nahyu of tanzil, the argument is also strong. But you want to slaughter the sacrificial animal, try to go away from clipping your fingernails when the first day of Dhul-Hijjah comes in, until you have slaughtered. Then you can what, clip your fingernails or your toenails, then you can what, shave where you want to shave. However, we know it is haram anytime, any day to shave the beard. It is haram anytime, any day to shave the beard. What the scholars differ on is, can you take away part of the beard? Some are of the opinion that if the beard is up to a qabda, that is a fist, when you hold your beard and what you have, there is something left after that. Some scholars are of the opinion that you can remove that. Then if there is a kind of maybe some hairs are longer than the other, so one can watch, do it in such a way that it will look smooth. This majority of the scholars are of the opinion that this can be done. However, some scholars are of the opinion that you shouldn't touch your beard at all. But the shy idea is that all of them agree it is haram for you to shave your beard. It is haram that you shave your beard. So when we are talking about not taking sha'ran, this is not applicable to the beard. So this is one aspect. Again, another thing is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let us know that the animal that you want to slaughter, he says, أَرْبَعٌ لَا تُجْزِئُ فِي الْأَضَاحِي. Four types of animals are not permissible in sacrificial animals. The first one is al-awrahu al-bayinu awaruha. A one-eyed animal should not be slaughtered. A one-eyed animal should not be slaughtered. Meaning, an animal that has lost his two eyes will not be permitted. Min babi awla. If an animal with one eye is not permitted, then the one with two eyes that has lost the two eyes will not be permitted. So likewise, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالْأَرْجَاءُ أَوَ الْمَرِيضَةُ الْبَيِّنُ مَرَضُهَا. An animal that is seriously sick. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, seriously sick, seriously sick. The one, a sickness of which is what is very clear. Now if an animal is just sick a little, there is nothing wrong in using it for sacrifice. But if it is seriously sick, then this is not permissible. The one that is seriously sick. وَالْأَرْجَاءُ الْبَيِّنُ عَرَجُهَا. Animal that is limping. The one whose limping is very obvious. It's not permissible to be slaughtered as udhiyah. Meaning when animal sustain an injury in the leg and it's somehow limping, but the limping is not very obvious, you can still use it for sacrificial animal. You can still use it for sacrifice. Then, وَالْكَثِيرَةُ الَّتِي لَا تُنْقِي. وَالْكَثِيرَةُ الَّتِي لَا تُنْقِي. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَالْعَجْفَاءُ الَّتِي لَا تُنْقِي. So, الْكَثِيرَةُ الَّتِي لَا تُنْقِي, the one that has no maru, very skinny. We don't use an animal that is very skinny for sacrifice. So, animals that are worse than this, so will not be allowed. But animals that are not as bad as this can still be allowed. When we say animals, we are referring to camel, both male and female, cow, male and female, ram, sheep, goat, male and female. So we are referring to this. For a camel to be qualified, so Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us know that the camel must be musinna. Must be musinna. So, sorry, must be a camel that has reached age 5 years old camel. And if it's a cow, it must not be less than 2 years. If it is a goat, similar thing. If it is a ram, some scholars said a year, some said 8 months, some said 6 months. That is ram and sheep. Because a ram that is 6 months, according to some scholars, or 8 months, or a year, that ram has reached the age of what is called seniyu or seniyya, or musinnu or musinna. So this is what is allowed. So, and this, we slaughter on the 10th, that is the last day of the first 10 days. So we said 11, 12, and 13 are part and parcel of the days of Hajj. They are connected based on the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Some scholars are of the opinion that slaughtering ends on the 12th. Some said it extends to 13. But what is recorded from most of the companions is that slaughtering ends on the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah. But all the days they are what? Ayyamu aklin wa shurbin wa dhikrillah. They are days of eating, drinking and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So briefly, this is what I would like to say on the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. though we have the observance of Salat al-Eid and Eid, but because of